giving honor to God. My God, your God, the God that keeps us and holds us. Oh, I give him glory for my health and my strength. He's that rock that I lean on. I want to thank your pastor emeritus and my big brother for allowing me to be here to share a word with you on Father's Day. Yes, indeed. I want to thank you for the welcome I received when I come over here. You know, when you come to your big brother's house, you always want to feel welcome. Y'all do a great job of that. Yes, y'all do a great job of that. I want to bring you greetings from Faith Community Baptist Church and our family. Little brother, little sister, you know, just send love to you and just thank you for your hospitality. I want to thank Rem Jones. He's man. He's a good man of God. I want to thank him. He just makes me feel at home every time I come over here. He blesses me. And your choir. Amen. And the music, your music is songs in my ear. Thank you. Can anybody testify to you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you? Okay. Now, I'm going to ask that same question to the brothers. Since it's Father's Day, since it's your day, do you feel like you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you? I heard a little bass and a few voices back there, so that sounds good. Before we get started, I want to thank Brother Chris Truesdale. Last month, we had the opportunity to break bread with them at Golden Corral. Well, and if anybody else that was with the men's ministry was there, would you raise your hand? Okay, I see you back there, brother. I see you back there. I see you. Where you at? Okay, I see you, man. My boys was talking about that for like 4 or 5 days afterwards, talking about how good it was, how blessed it was. But it always come up, man, we need to see more men in that environment. Ministering to one another, strengthening and empowering one another, you know, and not just on Father's Day. I see my little sister sitting over there, and I thank you, sis, for your support. You know, y'all know Rhonda. Yes, my little sister. I adopted her, claimed her when we was at New Hope together. I'm not going to keep you long. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into it. Father God, I want to thank you so much for your presence in this place. I want to thank you, Father God, for all the fathers that are here and all the fathers that are represented around the world. Lord God, we just thank you for finding a day just for us. Makes us feel special and makes us feel worthy of your praise. So we just thank you, Father God, for allowing the men to be out here this morning. And I pray, Father God, that you move in a special way, to send a word to their heart, Father God, to let them know how special they are to you. Despite what's said in the media and throughout the world, Lord God, men are special. So we ask, Father God, that you just empty this vessel of self, that it may not hinder your word from coming forward. But Lord God, just bless your word, for if it's just my words, it's word on paper. But if your word, Lord God, it speaks volumes. So I just thank you for your presence. I ask that you have your way in this place today, in Jesus' name, amen. If I was to pick a topic, I would say I want to speak to you for a moment from the word, Dad, cover me. Dad, cover me. I want to just put something in your spirit real quick. Genesis 33:7, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was his son of an old age. He made him a coat. He covered him. He made him a coat of many colors. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and the doing of his word. If you grew up in a household where you had your father and he was active in your life, you consider yourself blessed. But then there's some men in here like myself that grew up without a father. And by all statistics, I shouldn't be where I am. You know how they tell you, you come from a low-income family. You come from a single-parent family. You come from the hood, so therefore you won't accomplish anything. But God covered me. And I'm sure there's some other men in here can testify to that same thing. You know, he put people in your life along the way to help you get to where you are. I heard that notion that, you know, people can pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I ain't seen them boots yet. Because everybody in this world today has gotten help from somebody. Whether it was a coach, a teacher, a mentor, a pastor, somebody. God allows somebody to come in your life to help take you to the next level. And when we think about God's covering, all we have to do is just look in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, 2, and 3, and we find Adam clothed in glory gear. Yes, he's clothed in glory gear, and he has the glory on him. I don't know if you can handle this, but if you have the glory on you, you don't need anything else. Yes. God told Adam to rule, have dominion, and multiply. Okay. Just real quick to my brothers, I think we got one out of three pretty good, but there's some other stuff we got to master. I didn't want to put you on blast, but you know what I'm talking about. He said, have dominion. And Adam was doing a good job until he became disobedient and realized what he didn't have. See, when he was in the glory, he had it all. But when he became disobedient, he realized what he didn't have. And what did he do? The brother began to hide in the bushes. See, when you have the glory on, you don't need to hide in trees and hide in bushes. But when you don't have, when people don't have the glory and they're not covered, they try to use other things to cover them. Yes, yes. You begin to hide behind those label suits and think that you have the glory. But when you don't have the glory, that's when the enemy gets on your trail. And then we find Joseph in the book of Genesis 37. If you just fast forward with me, we get to 37, and we find out that Joseph's father gave him a coat of many colors. He covered him because he realized that he had something that nobody else had. He had an unusual dream and an unusual vision. He had something that was special. And see, all of us have something that was special until we realized we didn't have it. God created us with something special. He put something in each and every one of us to make us different and make an impact in this world. Yes. And now all of a sudden, Joe's brothers are starting to hate on him. It's amazing when you have a special gift. When you're covered, there's some people that don't like what you have. And so they put him in a pit. But notice what they did. They took his coat off before they put him in the pit. See, as long as you got on the glory, there's nothing they can do to you. And now he comes out of the pit and he's clothed different. He has on a different garment. Brothers, listen to me. He's got a garment of discipline. Yes, we need a garment of discipline. So many of our young guys today lack discipline. That's why they're in some of the situations they're in today, because they lack discipline. And he had to have discipline because he was going to work in a house with Potiphar's wife. Now, he's working in a house with Potiphar's wife, and all of a sudden, she develops a crush on Joe. Now, you got to know, when you read the Bible, say Joe was tall and he was good-looking and well-built. So I'm thinking, if Potiphar's gone a lot, her eye get to wandering. So because Joe looks good to her, she wants to get at Joe. But Joe is clothed in discipline. And so he says no. Now he's trying to run out of the house, trying to run out of the room. And what does she grab? She tears his robe because she's trying to take his discipline. The world wants to take your discipline, wants to strip you. But here's what I found out. I was talking to John in the New Testament. You know John. John 10:10 said that an enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your dream, kill your hope, and destroy your destiny. But what he didn't realize that you were being prayed for by the men of true light. Yeah, once you're under that prayer, can't nothing mess with you. And here it is. I searched the scripture, and I tried to find out. Because the Bible didn't say that Job wasn't attracted to her. The Bible didn't say he didn't entertain the thought. But he did say no. And people have a problem when you say no to them. She couldn't realize and didn't believe that he could be that strong to say no to her. Yes. And so a lot of brothers have fallen because they couldn't just say no. Maybe they didn't come up in that Nancy Reagan era. Just say no. And because we've had some brothers to fall, God said, "I got a new suit for you. It's called redemption." Okay, so I'm feeling right now that there's somebody in here that might need some redemption. So you say, "Well, I know you're in a witness protection program, and you can't say nothing right now." But here it is, the prodigal son. You know, after he asked his father for all his money, got his inheritance, and he left, he found himself in a situation he had never been in before. And when you find yourself in a situation that you've never been in before, the Bible said he came to himself. See, everything that his father covered him with before, he lost his mind. And then when he didn't have it, see, it's amazing when you find out what you didn't have and think about what you did have. He said, I got to go home. I got to go back to the Father. What he didn't realize was the Father was praying for him the whole time he was gone. And he had some redemption gear ready for him when he came back. Because the Bible says he met him. And say, look, he met him. His son has got dirt on him. He's reeking of alcohol. And he said, I can't let you stay in this state. So he put the redemption gear on him. He said, because what I have planned for you and what I want to take you, you can't go like this. And he said, when you put this redemption gear on, here it is. People won't recognize the mistakes that you made. Because you know how it is. You make a mistake, everybody want to remind you of what you've done. He said, but I'm going to dress you so good. They won't recognize the mistakes that you made. Do I have any redemption gear brothers in here? You don't have to say nothing if you don't want to. Just look at me and wink. I know you don't want everybody. Now, because see, the thing of it is sometimes we don't want people to know we made mistakes. We don't want people to know that we've fallen. But God knows. And the most dangerous man in the sanctuary today is the man that has fallen and decided to get back up. Because now the enemy is afraid. I'm on the clock, so I'm gonna hit you with this, and I'm coming around the mountain. Here it is. I was talking to Luke, and Luke said there was a man. He was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. Okay, all right. So I say, give it to me again, you know, because sometimes I can be a little slow. He said, okay. He said, there was a young man that was traveling from Mont Bello to Park Hill. Yes, sir. And he fell among thieves. Yeah, all right. And he said they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him up, they robbed him, and left him on the side of the road for dead. So many of us, life has beaten us up and left us on the side of the road for dead. And here's the problem I have. They said it was a priest that walked by, and he crossed the street because he thought the man had a cup. He thought the man had a cup and was begging, so he crossed the street. Then they said it was a lawyer, somebody representing the law. He passed by and didn't say nothing. And then all of a sudden, you could hear the spirit of the man cry out, you know, I don't want nothing from you. I ain't asking for your money. I just don't want to be left out here in this situation. Beat down on the side of the road, kicked to the curb. I don't want to be out here exposed like that. I had beef with them cats, man, because those was the ones that was in position to support and help him. They could have been a mentor. Said it was a priest and a lawyer, both in position to help and did nothing. Yeah. Can you imagine when you was kicked to the curb and everybody just walked by you? Everybody just walked by you. Just walked by you. They ain't help you. Can you imagine that? Here is this man sitting on the side of the road and he needs some help and he can't get it. But then they said there was a deacon from True Light. A good Samaritan walked past. He ain't even go to the same church. They ain't even fellowship together. He just saw him on the side of the road and walked to him and say, what do you need? And he said, look here, this is what I'm going to do. He said, first thing I have to do is get you off the street. Because see, that road between Montbello and Park Hill was a hotbed for thieves, gangbangers, and hoods. He said, I got to get you off the street so you're not exposed to that environment. And then he said, I'm going to take you. He took him to an inn. But first, before they left, he pulled out his first aid kit. Because my man's sitting there, he got his eyes black, his lip busted. You know, he got a couple of wounds. And so he's pulled out his first aid kit, and he's going to help him. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but they said in his first aid kit, he had wine and oil. Okay. The wine makes it steam. So sometimes, some things that you're exposed to in life, it hurts. He said, but the oil is going to soothe you. And they took him to an inn. He allowed him to get in his car, and he took him to an inn. Now, just bear with me for a minute, because when I think about inn, I think about the letters I-N-N, inn, like a hotel, okay, a holiday, okay, you got me. All right, so what I want to do, I want to take the N off and put a T-O on it. He took him into, okay, all right, now stay with me. He took him into, where did he take him into? He took him into the church. And he took him into the church, and he said, I ain't been here in a minute, so I just want to give you a love offering, but I need you to minister to this young man. He said, so when I'm coming back. I'm not going to just leave him. I'm coming back. He said, because I'm the first relationship he had after his incident, after his issue, his setback. He said, I'm coming back. But I'm going to entrust him to you to minister to his needs. So he brought him into, you can say it, True Light. He brought him into, it's okay. It's okay. He brought him into True Life so you could minister to his needs. Yes, sir. He said, I'm coming back. I got to share this with you, then I'm done. I'm getting ready to come over here, and this is going to sound strange, but just stay with me. I'm getting ready to come over here, and I had a conversation. My man said, I know you're going to True Light to speak to the men on Father's Day. And he said, I know there's got to be some brothers in there that's been, some fathers in there that's been beat down. He said, not dead beat, but beat down. He said, I got a word for him. Can I go? He said, can I go with you? I got a word for him. I said, look, Doc, I don't know, man. You know, they asked me to preach, man. I don't know if I can take you. You know, he said, I got a word for him. I said, look, give me your word and I'll take it to him. You know, I'll take it to him. And I'm going to tell him that it came from you. You know, I don't want to take credit for this. He said, I got a word for him. I said, okay, well, tell me what your word is. I want to check because I ain't never heard no speaking engagement he had. You know, I don't know how he's going to come out the box. So I wanted to make sure he wasn't going to say something crazy. So I say, tell it to me. So just so you know who I was talking to the avocado. I know what you're thinking. You say, rev on that stuff. I'm talking to the avocado. He say, I got a word for the beat down father. He say, because check this out. He say, every day I'm in the store and everybody just keeps walking by me. They find their way over to the banana and the orange because they look good. They find their ways over to the cherries and the grapes and the apples because they look good and everybody likes what looks good. He say, but I'm sitting over here and I don't look the part. He say, I look rough because I had a rough life. They don't understand the struggles that I went through just trying to be a father. They don't know the things that the mistakes I made just trying to do the right thing. And yes, I made some mistakes and I did some bad things trying to be a good father. But then all of a sudden I had to pay for my consequences and I wasn't there to watch my kids grow up. But I don't want another brother to go through the same thing. He say, but if you just tell them, when you get to true light, if you just tell them, if they ever took the time to open me up and see what I got on the inside, they will find out I have more potassium than a banana. I have more vitamins and nutrients in me than any of those fruits sitting over there that look good. But they won't know because they won't open me up. But if they ever open me up, what they'll find out that I could have been a heart surgeon because I'm good for your heart. I could have been an optometrist because I'm good for your eyes. He said, do you realize I can lower cholesterol and high blood pressure? If they ever just open me up and look, they'll find out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. All right. That's all right. Amen. He said, if you just open me up and look inside. Sometimes we want to judge a brother because of the mistakes he made and don't realize the force behind the mistake. But on this day, a word from an avocado, he said, if you ever just stop and look on the inside. See, sometimes we never think about what makes a man do what he does. No man wants to father children and walk away. We never look at the circumstance. We just look at the act. There's always a force behind the force. There's a war behind the war that we never look at. But the word from an avocado, cover me. If you just cover me and open me up, you'll see that there's more in me than you ever imagined. So to my brothers here today, on Father's Day, this is your day. And I'm giving you the license to open up. God bless you.